This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 889. I am Lisa Sheps, and today I am lucky enough to be joined by my special guest cohort, co-host, Lily Persifield.
Hey, it's me!
You're listening to both of us at KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live on sunny, hot Wednesdays around the world at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
What happened today at the baseball?
It is Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. On the show today, we have Cold Frame Collective and their show, The Servant of Two Masters. Zilker? That's hard to say. Zilker Theater Productions are going to be on with their show, Singing in the Rain. And of course, we will have Ground Floor Theater and their show, Emiliana, a Revolution Cabaret. And now, of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, Washington Heights, and other places. Stick with us.
A good, strong clout. Lucy,
I hollered, it's coming right to you. Lily Persifield.
What's up?
I want to call you Feld instead of Field. Can you change your name? I'd find it easier.
It's pretty easy to change it verbally. It'd be harder to do it legally.
No, I don't need it legally.
Yeah.
Lily Persifield, welcome. You have not co-hosted with me before.
No, I've guested, and this is my first time as co-host.
You have guested, and you've done a great job as a guest. Who are you? Tell us about yourself.
Oh, I didn't even consider that I would need to do this. I'm Lily Persifield.
You don't have to rehearse it. You can speak from the heart.
It can be chill.
Yeah.
I'm an actor
That's not a gotcha question.
Okay. This isn't gotcha journalism?
It will be, but right now it's not.
When you clip it and rearrange everything I said.
Which I will do.
Okay, perfect.
But you do everything.
I dabble in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I do acting. I've got a podcast where we play Dungeons
and Dragons. What's your podcast called?
It's called Gals and Goblins.
Gals and Goblins. Okay, well, just a second.
Yes.
My name is Lily Persifield. I play Sawyer Cinderfoot. A fun fact about me is that I'm incapable of building a low charisma character. I've tried multiple times and it never happens.
Gotcha.
Okay, gotcha.
That was gotcha journal. I feel so got.
You were got. That's your goblin.
Where did you find that?
It's on your website. It's on the front. It's the first thing you see on your website.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a podcast.
Me.
It's amazing.
Podcast.
So you and me, I started my podcast 18 years ago. How long have you?
We started 3 years ago.
Okay, I went
a little over.
Yes. No, but you have more listeners than I do. I have about three.
You need to play D&D.
I think, but you're also an actor.
Yes.
You're a choreographer.
Yes.
I believe that's how we met.
It is.
Yes. You choreographed for me.
Yes. So fun. That was back at Southwestern University,
alma
mater.
It was indeed.
Woo.
Spitfire Grill.
Woo. You too? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay, we have to talk about this.
Well, let's real quick.
Yeah, Spitfire Grill.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Because we just heard a voice. Let's introduce the people here. That giggle you just heard was from Audrey Barrett. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, I'd like to clarify that was a woo, not a giggle.
It was a little giggle.
Important.
It was a pride.
It was a woo giggle. And new to the to the show is Sergio Alvarado.
Hey there, how's it going?
Hey, do you go Sergio or Sergio?
Whichever you can say.
Which do you prefer?
Sergio.
I can say them both.
Bueno.
Sergio. Okay, cool. We don't have a bunch of time to chit-chat because we have a jam-packed show, but I'm so thrilled to have you here.
I am also thrilled.
Good. Did y'all recognize that song that we played to begin with?
Yeah, once I told you what it was, I absolutely recognized it.
It's from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Which I like the show, and I didn't. So there was a revival in '90s or the early 2000s with Kristen Chenoweth, and they wrote new songs, which I didn't. There's the song that what's Charlie Brown's sister's name? Sally sings that is new, and there's one other song that is new. But this is, I'm sorry, I should tell you why I'm talking about it, because there's going to be a New York City Center showing of this. I think it might be a reading. that they just have this cast, which is great, with, now this is an odd choice in terms of age for Charlie Brown, David Hyde Pierce.
Ooh.
Playing Charlie Brown. But I mean, great. Danielle Brooks.
Nice.
Is in it. And Ayo Adebri and Jin Ha. Aren't those amazing?
All-star. Yeah, it's an all-star lineup.
Yeah. So David Hyde Park is playing Charlie Brown. Danielle Brooks is playing Lucy. Ayo Adebri is Snoopy, which is the best role in that show. Yeah. And Jin Ha is going to play Linus. So has anybody other than me done that show in the past?
Mm-mm.
No, I have not been on that one yet.
Okay, yeah, good. Good, you're good for saying that. Because I was just about to tell you that shaking your head doesn't work on the radio.
Correct.
I warned him about that.
I'll get it right next time.
But I did it anyway. Okay, so we only have a few minutes so that I can make sure we get everything in here. So let's figure out what I want to talk about. I have my script here.
And I also have mine.
You do?
I do.
Oh, this is an interesting thing. Is anybody familiar with the Amanda Knox story?
Oh, yes, vaguely, yes. The European, the American who was in Europe, who was a roommate,
Italy.
Italy.
Who was accused of killing someone. Her roommate, who was a British national, and she was in jail for a couple of years. And Hulu did a, it wasn't a documentary, but it was, what do they call them when they're acted out?
Oh, like a tell-all? No.
Yeah, there's a word for it. I just totally lost it. Anyway, it's good. I watched it. So she is performing, get this, stand-up comedy at the Edinburgh Fringe. So what is that, just that statement, what does that bring up for y'all?
That rocks.
That's so good.
It rocks.
It's a great second life.
It's a great second life. Not surprisingly, she's selling out her audiences. Mm-hmm. Wow. Her show is called Cartwheel. She's playing the Edinburgh Fringe. It opened already. But it's stirred up a lot of controversy because she is still vilified in the UK. I think most people, I'm going out on a limb here and thinking that most people in this country agree that she was inappropriately accused.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think they feel that way in Great Britain. She's doing it. So evidently she says she's getting back to her roots, that she was that quirky, crazy theater kid growing up. And that's what she's doing. And she says, so one of the things that this New York Times article, which was written by Alex Marshall, says is it raises the question about who has the right to tell stories on stage, which I think is an interesting thing. Evidently, a lot of comics try out their work at Edinburgh. I never thought of it as a comic festival.
Or people will do like a one man, one woman kind of show at Edinburgh.
Yeah, but that's different than stand up.
Sure. Yeah.
To me.
Do we have reviews? Is it good? Do we know anything?
She's supposed to be really good at it.
Nice.
But it's getting mixed because there's people that don't like her. So the family of what's her name? Michelle Kirshner. Stephanie Kirshner, who is the sister of Meredith Kirshner, who was the woman that was killed, is not happy about it and says that Knox is causing her and her family a lot of pain. So I think it is interesting that she chose Great Britain to do this.
Yeah. Tough crowd, maybe, potentially. But I don't know. People come from all over the Fringe, so...
She's actually good friends with Whitney Cummings. Do you remember him from Saturday Night Live, I think?
I think they did write for Saturday Night Live, but I haven't.
Yeah, he did commentary.
That's right. Yes.
It's tall, thin dude.
Right.
Different Whitney Cummings. Got it.
Oh, which Whitney Cummings
are
you thinking?
There's also a stand-up Whitney Cummings.
Oh, maybe that's who I'm thinking of. Comedian Whitney Cummings is all it says. I'm guessing it's the one. But I could be wrong. So there's a stand-up Whitney Cummings.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's who it
actress,
is.
An actress, yeah.
Okay. But she did a roast. What got her the bug for doing comedy was at a roast for Whitney Cummings. And she said during her brief 3-minute set, Knox joked that she'd only been invited there because other comedians wanted to follow a performance who was never killed.
Oh.
Oh, bang. Anyway, I think that's an interesting story, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. I think there should be a Tony category for best casting. And mm-hmm. if some company were to get that, it would be the O. Mary Company. Mm-hmm. They have done such a good job in casting that show. Did you know who's going into it next?
I do. Bowen yeah. Yang.
Bowen Yang.
Yes, because I'll be there in New York.
Oh, are you going to go see it?
Fun. I really hope so.
Have you seen it before?
No.
Who's seen O. Mary here?
No. I haven't seen that one yet.
Sergio, you're the only one that did not know that Bowen Yang was going in.
Correct. I haven't been paying attention to my Broadway.
You're excused. Anyway, he's going in on September 15th for 12-week engagement. I just think that's just a great choice. Also, he evidently is very good friends with Cole Scola from the beginning, from
Makes
the get-go.
Sense. Yeah.
I think he's going to be hilarious.
Yes. He is always hilarious. I don't know if people can hear this mic stand, but it's I move around a lot. Let's just zip around to here's an interesting thing. And before I say it, I should tell folks that the opinions expressed on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its staff, underwriters, or anybody here. It's just me talking.
All right.
Not that what I'm about to say is in the least bit controversial, but I'm required to do that at this radio station. I keep forgetting. One of the things that we bring on here a lot is I read a blog called The Onstage Blog, hold on, I'm trying to find the little headline. I'm actually trying to find the whole thing so I can, there it is. No, that's the wrong one. This is one. The headline was a cancellation of Rocky Horror Show by an Idaho community theater. And so I initially thought, okay, there's a big to-do about it, but no.
This is great. This is a great.
Do you know this?
It was on NPR, yeah.
Tell people.
Oh, okay. They kept saying musical director, so I'm not positive that they meant music director or director of the musical. Did not want to be involved in the production anymore.
This is different than what I have.
Oh, okay. The Bluff the Listener, where they tell a story and one of them is real, was about a Rocky Horror music director that was receiving threatening emails, so they had to cancel the show, but he was sending them to himself because
he
hated the cast and didn't want to do the show anymore.
Oh my gosh, I need that one.
So different.
Was that in Idaho?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Different Rocky Horror cancellation?
Different Rocky Horror cancellation.
Okay.
This one had... They canceled the show. The board of this community theater and everybody decided to cancel the show because they had one anonymously unsigned complaint about it.
And they were like, pack the whole thing up.
Pack the whole thing up. Isn't that amazing? And they didn't try to find out who it was. They didn't poll their stakeholders or anything. They just said, okay, we're out.
What?
Yeah.
Idaho could have used it too.
Yeah, if you're not ruffling some feathers, yeah. It's not Rocky Horror.
Yeah, so in the blog he says this theater seems to have reacted to what they feared might happen rather than what is actually happening. Sure. I couldn't agree with that more. Mm. And shame on them. I mean, I run a theater that does shows that could be considered controversial to some, and we do a lot of work that we are prepared for in the state of Texas to be called on the carpet for, and me and my board and my entire staff are prepared to go forward regardless of the consequences. So just think that's interesting. All right. We have to almost, I've got maybe a few more times. Shucked. No, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about Sweet Charity.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Yes. We're going to talk about Sweet Charity. Sweet Charity. What was I going to say? So there's going to be a workshop of Sweet Charity production this fall, and it's going to be starring Ariana DeBose.
Oh, cool. Oh,
okay. That's
very
great.
Nice.
As Charity. But let me just tell you something that I feel. Oh, first, I should say it's directed and choreographed by Rick Cooperman, and it's based on a Fellini film, which I did not know. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Sergio,
I
did you know
remember that?
I've
even seen it before. I didn't recognize it.
It's called Knights of the Cabria. But let me tell you something. I have an opinion about Sweet Charity.
Tell us.
I'm going to do my hot take. It should not be done. It is a terrible, terrible message for women.
I don't think this is controversial.
It is. Well, correct. No, but so many, the music is so good. I love the music, but it's like at the end of the day, the end of that show, it says, if you can't find a man to take care of you, you are a failure.
Yeah.
Oh, Sergio, that was the right reaction.
Well, I'm the only man here, and I even know that's a horrible sentiment.
And they, you know, they haven't even, I don't know of any. They've tried to fix other shows that are, like they tried to fix My Fair Lady. Has anybody seen the new version of My Fair Lady?
I heard about it.
They didn't fix it.
Yeah.
They didn't fix it. The only thing she doesn't do is get him his slippers at the end of the show. Everything else is the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, but somebody should fix this. Give it a new ending.
It's 2026.
Or there's just...
A new ending and a new song.
There's so much good IP. Just do other things.
Well, but I love the... Do you not... Audrey, you're a music director. Do you hate the music of Sweet Charity?
I don't hate the... There's
what do you have against Gwynne Verdon?
There's some winners in there, for sure. I saw it
Name
at the,
one.
Big Spender.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. I saw it most recently at the Palace.
Uh-huh.
My ticket was for March 13th, 2020.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Was that... Were we closed by then?
That was the last night. I believe the first and last night. We were all just looking at each other in the audience like, should we be here?
How did they do with that show?
I think that they did that show and then they did no other shows.
No, I mean, how did they do it? You know, so I have found, hot take, Georgetown Palace Theater, forgive me. It's a mixed bag of whether you're going to go see something there and it's really good.
Sure.
Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's in between.
I'm going to say... In between.
Okay. Who played Charity? You remember?
I don't remember. I'm so sorry.
I like the Daddy song. No, the you know, big, what's it called? Out in San Francisco. Sammy Davis Jr. sang it in the movie.
I already fulfilled my one required song to know from
never
the show.
Mind. Okay. All right. So now we have to be done. We're going to be done. But I have to talk about one more thing before, because we're going to play some music from it. And that is Shucked. Has anybody other than me seen Shucked?
I haven't seen it, but I love the recording.
I have not seen it at all.
Nope.
No.
Nothing.
Well, let me tell you something. So I'm often accused of being a semi-elitist about my theater choices, because all the things that we do tend to have a message and they're kind of heady and you're thinking after them. Shucked is the opposite of that. There is no thinking after watching this. It is just pure, unadulterated fun, and I loved it. It is so much fun. It was originally called the Hee Haw Musical.
Shucked has a nice, you know... Snappy.
No, I like Hee Haw music.
No. Okay, I'll fight you on this one. I did. Did you ever watch the show Hee Haw?
No.
Oh my! Did you know about the show Hee Haw?
No.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you my birth date?
What?
Do you want me to tell you what year I was born?
No. Well, Hee Haw was a country western variety show that was just. I didn't like it.
Mm. So you were happy with the Shucked change?
Well, when they said it was the Hee Haw Musical, there's just no way I would watch it, because to me, and I'm going to be very snobby, I apologize to any of the people that like this kind of humor. It was just very lowbrow, unfunny humor to me. But I've evolved. I'm beginning to like it. Anyway, they are, and this doesn't happen all that often these days. Shucked has been on tour for a while. Mm-hmm. They are starting a second national tour.
Wow. Mm.
Which I don't... Wicked, Hamilton. I don't know of many other shows that have two tours.
Does Les Mis?
I don't think they have two.
Okay. Two concurrent tours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know
that. I'm assuming it's concurrent, because usually when you have a first national and second national, they're concurrent. But didn't say. They did say it is a non-equity tour, which... I have opinions about as well.
Yeah.
But that's the story. So we're going to take a break. We are going to listen to a song called I Do from the Broadway musical Shucked. We'll be right back. Maybe I should...
take her hand.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on Co-op Radio 91.7 FM, streaming at koop.org. And did I mention that's not only streaming just in Austin, it's streaming everywhere.
Yeah, baby. Hey.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people don't realize that. Anyway, let's reintroduce our guests for the real reason they are here. We have, from the Cold Frame Collective and their show The Servant of Two Masters, the co-founder and artistic director,
co-artistic director
of Cold Frame Collective, Audrey Barrett. Hi, Audrey.
Hello.
Who was born in 2003.
Oh, wow. Stop.
Okay, I'm going to try this. Truffaldino?
Yes.
Sergio Alvarado.
Yes, I was also born in 2003.
Okay, good.
I wasn't born in 2000, just to be so clear about that.
Were you indeed born in 2003?
No, not at all.
You. Okay. Yeah, that would be impossible based on what we were talking about earlier. Because we discovered that Sergio and I were
neighbors.
New York neighbors. We lived two blocks from each other.
Oh, that rocks.
But not at the same time.
Right.
Audrey.
Yes.
Y'all are producing Servant of Two Masters.
We are.
Is it a new piece? Is it an original piece? It was just written?
Yeah. It just kind of popped out of nowhere 500 or so years ago.
I remember. I was there.
Yeah. Super underground.
Yeah. It's a classic work of Commedia dell'arte.
Yeah. Which is great. Commedia is making quite a comeback here in Austin. Comeback? I don't know if it ever left. But there's a lot of Commedia going on.
I agree. Yeah, we've got a fabulous exclusively Commedia theater company in town, and yeah, I'm loving to see it.
The very last show that I professionally acted in was a Commedia version of Pinocchio, and
oh,
I played
nice.
Geppetto.
Oh, nice!
Yeah. Toured upstate New York, and Sergio, never mind. You be quiet, Audrey.
Yes,
you're also directing this piece.
I am. Yes.
Tell us what the show's about.
Oh, I'd love to. So The Servant of Two Masters is also adapted, if you're more familiar with One Man, Two Governors.
Oh, you ruined my joke.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
That's been a lot of people know that reference because, you know, won a bunch of Tonys. But Servant of Two Masters is about a servant, a Commedia zany, Truffaldino, who is after food and money and... words that I maybe can't say on the radio. I'm not sure.
You can't. When in doubt, you cannot.
And he finds himself in a crazy situation where there are two different masters that both need service, and he volunteers for both. So there's hijinks, there's mistaken identities, there's lovers that are trying to find each other and are 2 feet away from each other the entire time. One's dressed as a man.
Well, that's cause for arrest here in Austin, Texas.
I know. We've gone very light with the drag in order to be able to keep our doors open.
So is this done in true Commedia style? Are we wearing masks?
We are wearing masks, yeah. The typically masked characters, the old men and the servants are all wearing masks, and the lovers in true Commedia style are not, because then you wouldn't be able to see their beautiful faces.
Mm-hmm. And is the designer of said masks perhaps in this room?
In this room? I'm so excited you know about this.
Oh, my.
So you designed the masks.
I designed the masks.
That's cool.
It's kind of my hobby to make masks. I've been making them for so long now. And so I learned to make them for Commedia. And it's just been so much fun to not only teach, but also design. And, it's art on our faces. And it's really hot under those masks. So we have a lot of fun. But true. It is a lot of fun.
Did you bring one here to show us?
I did not bring one
for the
here.
Radio show. We didn't think to do that.
Well, we are video. This is also on YouTube.
Wow, I should
We're
have brought some.
We're streaming live right now. Gotcha.
Psych. We used to, actually. We had it back before Zoom and everything. We used to videotape it and do it, but it didn't work out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It has been so much fun.
Have you directed for Commedia before?
I've never directed for Commedia. I have acted in a lot of Commedia. Yeah.
And Sergio, do you do a lot of Commedia work or mask work?
I do a lot of mask work, yes. And I did a lot of...
that's a different thing.
Yes.
That's a different way of acting.
Mm-hmm, definitely. It's behind the mask. You really have to show the face. It's got to be the showcase of you. But you also have to use your body to tell the story that the people can't see on your face.
It's a, did you find that fun to play?
Yes, it's so much fun. It's difficult when you start rehearsals without the mask and you're already trying to make certain connections with people, and then you put the masks on and have to return to how do I make that connection that I made without, you know, blinking my eye or moving my cheek.
That's an interesting thought. I have not directed a commedia thing, but I think if I were, like from the pretty much the start, I would have something covering the actors' faces.
Such a good idea. I wish our director had thought of that. That's brilliant.
I just thought of it right this very second.
We did have actors that said, I want a mask as soon as possible, and started making that happen, just party masks.
Because it does change. I mean, because you would...
The whole body now has to be used, and everything comes from the spine at that point. And if you haven't made that connection, you have to figure out how to tell that story without, you know, a cheek or a smile.
Billy, have you done commedia?
No, but I imagine it would, I mean, it would help. Just what you said about the spine, like, it's like, now I'm thinking about that, of like, how can I use that, you know?
No,
like,
it's totally more, like, it's very physical.
From the, yeah,
it's backting.
So tell us about your role.
So I play Truffaldino Batocchio, who is
a
zany.
That was a very good Italian accent. We were talking about Amanda Knox before.
It's all coming back.
A conceit that we've kind of developed throughout rehearsals is that the more emotional our characters get, the more Italian they get. So by the end of the show, let me tell you, it is Italian.
Okay.
And myself, I'm the servant. I normally say those names normally, but because I am the servant, my master starts to say the names differently. I start to take on their dialect as well. I get a little more Italian at the end of the show, too. But it's a lot of fun. So my character is a zany, but he's really an Arlecchino. So he's definitely not the top zany, but he's a part of the stereotypical...
Who's the top zany? I would have thought Harlequin is the...
Oh, yes, Arlecchino is the top zany. In this show, I'm not the... We have other zanies, but I'm the servant zany, whereas there's a cook zany, and in this society...
Zany was my sorority name in college.
Oh, yes, I can see that. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of physicalities. At the end of the night, I'm a sweaty mess. My body's aching. If I don't stretch out before the show, I feel like I can tighten up.
Yeah, well, we just talked about how physical this is. So you're going to do a little monologue for us,
sure.
Are you not?
Definitely.
Good. Do we need to set this up at all?
Well, I don't know. Which one did you pick?
I've just taken on the second master, and I was confronted by my first master, and now I'm trying to figure out what to do in the situation.
Okay, great. Well, this is Sergio Alvarado doing a scene from Cold Flame Corrective's production of A Servant, The Servant of Two Masters.
There's luck. There are many that look in vain for a master, and I have found two. What the devil am I to do? I cannot wait upon them both. No? Why not? Wouldn't it be a fine thing to wait upon both of them, earn two wages, and eat and drink for two? 'Twould be a fine thing if neither of them found it out. But if so, what then? No matter. If one sends me away, I'll stay with the other. I swear I'll try it. If it lasts but a day, I'll try it. Whatever happens, I would have done a fine thing. Well, here we go. Let's go to the post for both of them.
Amazing. That's wonderful. It's fun. I could almost see the masks. Well, we are actually almost out of time here. When do you guys open?
We open tomorrow, August 13th.
And play through?
We play through August 23rd.
So you open tomorrow. I hear you're painting the stage today.
Well, we've been painting it for a few days. I asked for a geometric stage.
It's okay.
It's hard to do. It's Lily's a scenic painter.
As someone who has a lot of shows opening in their space, it's not unusual to be doing things to the last minute. Well, great. And so you play through when?
Through August 23rd.
23rd. And where is this taking?
Returning to Trinity Street Playhouse.
Trinity Street Playhouse. And I always say when we talk to people that are doing Trinity, people get afraid because they think parking is going to be difficult. It is not.
It's not that bad. No,
it's not that bad at all.
There's lots of options.
Well, amazing. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course, thank you.
And break lots of legs.
Thank you.
Great. That was Audrey Barrett and Sergio Alvarado, all of Cold Frame Collective's production of The Servant of Two Masters, playing at Trinity Street Theater from August 13th to 23rd. And of course, I had to play that other servant song, master of the house.
Oh. Yes.
There we go.
What did you think I was going to do?
Well, you said, sir, you said one master, two governor, whatever it is. So I thought maybe you were going to.
It's not a musical.
I know, but I was wondering what you had up your sleeve.
I looked. This doesn't
exist. It's something by James Corden.
Exactly. Yeah, right?
Song of Cats.
Master of the ass, dangling at the charm, ready with a handshake and an...
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP 91.7. We're going to do just really quickly. No, I'm going to switch things up. We were going to do our locals. Typically, we do our local calendar at this point, but I'm worried we're going to run out of time. So we're going to just jump to our next guest, which is Zilker Theater. I have trouble saying
this is
Zilker.
Second time.
It wants to come out
Ziegler.
Ziegler. Ziegler. I'm going to have them change it for me.
Yes. I'll change my name as well.
Would you mind?
Yes.
Zilker Theater Productions, production of Singing in the Rain. And we have from that show the amazing person that's playing Kathy Seldon. And as soon as I figure out which mic you're on, I will turn it on, which I just did. We have Alicia Frias Escobar.
Correct.
Correct. Yes. I need you to get right up on that microphone and there you go.
Hi, I am Alicia Frias Escobar and Alicia, I play Kathy Seldon.
I said Alicia, it's Alicia.
Yes, correct.
Frias Escobar. Well, welcome. So you were playing Kathy Seldon.
Yeah.
So Singing in the Rain, never heard of it. What is it?
Well, it's been called the greatest movie musical of all time for a good reason.
It is.
Isn't it the best movie ever? And you have to watch the show now. We are on our final weekend. We have three shows left.
Yeah, it's just one final weekend to see it.
It's been such a successful run. People are loving the show. It's just full of heart. So funny. You don't even know it, but you know all of the songs.
Yeah.
You will find out when you're there.
Yeah. So y'all are outside of the Zilker Hillside Theater. See, I can say that.
Oh, when it's Zilker all together.
Yeah, for some reason. I heard, I have not seen the show yet because I hate the heat, that the theater would not let you actually have it rain.
Correct.
So that sucks because that would cool you off.
I know. I don't know how much I can say about that.
No, you can't say anything about
maybe
it.
Maybe I shouldn't just...
We don't do anything controversial on this show.
Yeah.
But if we do, just please reference the disclaimer I gave earlier. So great, you're playing Kathy Seldon. So here's my question for you. I'm assuming you've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Were you very familiar with it before you got this role? You look slightly younger than me.
No, actually I didn't see the movie until about halfway of our process.
Okay. So people of my age, and Lily, are you familiar with the movie?
Yes.
Okay. But it is, and I have a pet peeve about people overusing the word iconic, but it is iconic.
I agree.
In the 70s, I took a film class and it was part of my film class, but also these characters and the actors that played them. Debbie Reynolds played,
Kathy
Seldon in the movie, totally iconic.
Yes.
Is it how? Well, maybe because you didn't know it, I would find that very intimidating.
That's why I didn't watch it.
Okay.
So I kind of skimmed through it before the audition just to see if there was a role for me. I just let the text do the work for me. And then it's funny because when I eventually saw the movie, I think the casting that they did for this show was incredible because everyone is doing their own interpretation of the character, but the essence of each character is maintained.
Well, that is great. How are you playing? What's your take on Kathy?
What's my take on Kathy? I'm just thinking about her goal. She's just a girl who wants to act and be in the movies, and she's very passionate about acting, and she always leads with excellence. So I don't know, everyone knows the story, right?
Most people know the story, yeah.
She proposes to make a musical because a movie that they just launched has flopped. So she has the idea to make a musical and then to use her own voice to dub the actress. Yeah.
So this is right around the time that talkies came into being.
Correct.
They used to do silent movies. Well, you're going to do a little song for us, right?
Yeah.
A little piece of one of the... Well, they're all iconic songs.
They are.
I could totally say iconic about everything.
It
in
is
this,
iconic.
In this piece. So do you want to set this song up at all? Do you want to tell us, about the song, what you're singing?
Yeah, I'm singing Good Morning, solo version, because this in the show you will see that it's three people sing this song, and it's a big tap musical, tap number.
How's your tap?
I love tapping. It's my favorite.
Hop, shuffle, step, flat ball, change.
Yes. Okay. Hop, shuffle, step, flat ball, change. I got it.
How's your tap, Lily?
Hop, shuffle, step, flat ball, change.
Yeah. Okay, and I'll do a shuffle off to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So are you ready? Can you hear? You've got your headphones on. Yes. You can hear the music. You control your volume. If you just follow that wire, if you're not getting enough volume, I don't control your volume. Okay. So this is Alicia Frias Escobar doing a number from Zilker Theater Productions, production of Singing in the Rain. You ready?
Yes.
Here it is.
Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. We talked the whole night through. Good morning. Good morning to you. When we left the movie show, the future wasn't bright, but came the dawn, the show goes on. Good morning, rainbows are shining through. Good morning to you, Co-op Radio.
There it goes. That's going to go on our reel. That was wonderful. You totally have the style of the 30s or 20s or whenever. Yeah. What year does it take place?
1927.
Not 1926. Mm-mm. Not 1928.
It's specific.
1927. Yeah, I was just a wee child at then. Well, what fun. So I'm glad that you've seen the movie, because it's great. And what else? So we only have three more chances to see the show, right?
Correct. So the show is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can find more information at zilker.org. Zilker.org.
That's, oh, you know, I'm glad you said that, because you know what I have in my... Oh, I don't have anything in my notes, which I normally do. So who is playing your Don Lockwood and your, what's his name? Rocco. Fliso.
Cosmo. So our amazing Don Lockwood is played by Ryan Rue. And what I can say about The Rain is that, as we told before, there is no rain, but you will not miss it, because he completely fills up the stage and you will not even notice that there is no rain. And our amazing Cosmo is played by Noah Cantrell. He's so funny and so charming.
And who's playing Lena?
Sarah Reynolds is playing Lena.
Yeah, that would be a fun role to play. And in the musical versus the... And this would be a reason for folks to go see the musical. In the movie, Lena Lamont does not sing. Mm-hmm. But in the musical, she has a number.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called What's Wrong With Me.
So yeah.
She has to put on a funny
So many
voice.
Things. Mm-hmm.
And it's you have to be so good in order to be bad.
Yes.
On stage. She's 100%. So you need to see it.
Well, it's Alicia, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yay, thank you for having
Wonderful.
Me.
Wonderful, and best of luck with the final three performances.
You can bring a fan. I hope I see you there.
I will be there, front row. Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Alicia Frias Escobar. She plays Kathy Seldon at Zilker Theater Productions, production of Singing in the Rain, playing now through August 15th. For more information, you may visit zilker.org. I think that's what it is. And from Singing in the Rain, another song that Kathy Seldon sings along with other people is All I Do the Whole Night Through is Dream of You. We got a little choreography in the studio. We'll be right back.
All I do.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Lily. Lisa and Lily, that's a good team.
That's pretty catchy.
I could be part of your podcast.
I know. We want to have you
I on. Could bring my... I have a priest that I could bring.
Oh, to, yeah. For a cleanse, you know, to kind of cleanse us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go back and do our local thing. Here's what we do, Lily. We read this little list of local stuff in a round robin fashion. So I'm going to start and then you're going to follow. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. This is what's going on. Zach Theater has Sally and Tom through August 23rd. And then they have Come From Away from August 19th through September 27th.
Zaheer Productions has Oversight through August 22nd.
Where is it being played? What theater?
Oh, at Hyde Park Theater.
It is. La Fenice, speaking of... Commedia, they've got Speak No More, Lovecraft, through August 22nd at the Tavern.
Broad Theater has Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms, August 14th through the 29th at Summer... Oh,
nope. Summer Break Theater. There's a, you look for the semicolon.
I see that now.
Summer Break Theater has Midnight through August 16th at the Stage Austin.
Zilker Theater has Singing in the Rain through August 15th at,
at Zilker.
At Zilker.
But Magnolia Musical Theater has The Addams Family playing through the 15th.
Mad Cat Theater and Dirty Gold has The Maids, let's see, August 7th through the 16th at Smelt House.
Yeah, and look at that. There's no
semicolon.
No semicolon. There wasn't one before the other one, too. I suck.
Well, this is my show, so I recognize it.
Right. It's Shakespeare, but one of us is drunk. August 13th through the 22nd at the Vortex. I meant to talk about this at the top of the show. This is your show.
This is my show.
Tell folks about it really quickly.
All right. Well, it's what it sounds like. Shakespeare, but one of us is drunk. We draw a name out of a hat, and that person has to get wasted, and then we all do our best to do A Midsummer Night's Dream.
And I have to say that when we talked about you doing this, you were rehearsing near my theater, and y'all just finished rehearsing.
We were.
And one of your characters, or one of your actors who was drunk that night, the three of us sat and chatted for long. I had such a lovely time chatting with
you. It was delightful. And yesterday we had an invited dress rehearsal, and guess who was drunk for that?
You.
Me.
Oh my gosh. Yep. What'd you drink?
What's your drink of choice? A lot of vodka.
Because you have someone that's attached to you. The drunk person has someone.
I did get handcuffed to somebody at some point, but that's.
That's not what I was talking about. Somebody that is a sober person that helps.
There are two drunk wranglers. One is our stage manager, and then one is the MC, and drunk it's wrangler. Both of their combined job. And the whole ensemble, honestly, we all support the drunk.
I love that. Well, you're at the Vortex, but I understand that tickets are no longer available.
We are sold out. There is a wait list.
Yeah, okay. People could just show up if they wanted to. Okay, you go next.
I go next, and I say Kung Fu Cowgirl Productions presents Kung Fu Cowgirl the Musical. That's September 3rd through the 13th at the Zilker Hillside.
City Theater's got Avenue Q, one of my favorites, August 28th through September 13th.
Mad Cat Theater. Did we say this already?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Should we say it again?
What?
Mad Cat Theater and Dirty Gold.
Did we say that already?
We did say that already, but...
I'll give him twice.
I'll give him... Yeah. Mad Cat Theater and Dirty Gold presents The Maids through August 16th at Smelt House.
That already.
Yeah, we did.
Stargaze Theater Festival is the 13th through the 22nd at Dougherty, and I'll just take the auditions myself, although there's a slew of them.
You take it. I can't find a semicolon to save my life.
This is not just for you. I always do them because usually there's not this many. Well, let's split them up.
Okay.
Okay, I'll start. Penfold Theater is auditioning for Steel Magnolias, August 23rd, and I love the name of this, Mad Libs Live, also on August 23rd.
Look at that. Ground Floor Theater is auditioning for A Strange Loop on August 26th.
City Theater is doing Amadeus, on August 12th and 13th.
Zach is doing Peter Pan Goes Wrong, also on August 13th.
Jarrett Productions got Bisexual Sadness, boy, don't I know, on August 15th and 16th.
Georgetown Palace has got A Wonderful Life on August 23rd.
Crown Theater's got A Christmas Carol Catastrophe on August 29th.
And ACC has Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors on August 30th.
Okay, we're going to do really quickly today in theater history.
Okay.
So we can make sure we have time for our final guest. And we just have mostly one opening, Once Upon a Mattress, the revival in 2024. And then look at all these birthdays. Cecil B. DeMille, Alfred Lunt, William Goldman, Peter Krause, Michael Kidd, Natalie Mendoza, Dana Ivey, and Sharon D. Clarke.
Wow.
And Sharon D. Clarke was in a little show in London called Once on This Island, and we're going to hear her sing Mama Will Provide from Once on This Island. We'll be right back. I can't find it at all, so maybe we're not going to do... Maybe we're just going to go on and do our final thing. We are. So what you almost heard was my interview with Ground Floor Theater and the show that's opening tomorrow night, Emiliana, A Revolution Cabaret. Let's listen to that interview, shall we?
We shall.
Hey, everybody. I am here with Jessica Peña Torres, who is the playwright and the writer for Ground Floor Theater's production of Emiliana, A Revolution Cabaret. Mm. Jessica, welcome to Offstage and on the Air.
Hi, thank you, Lisa, for having me.
I am so happy to have you here. We're actually here at Ground Floor Theater right now after a dress rehearsal. You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Because not only are you the playwright, but you are the lead role in it.
Yes, I know. It's very ego-centered of me to write it like that, but it's part of the cabaret tradition.
Not at all. I couldn't imagine anybody else in it. We only have a short amount of time together, but I wanted to I want people to know, what is the show? What is Emiliana Revolution Cabaret? Tell us.
Yeah, so Emiliana is a story about upper-middle-class woman in the 1940s in Mexico City who has this double life. During the day, she has this, you know, very quaint life in Mexico City, where she's the daughter of a doctor and she takes French and vocal lessons and, you know, doing all the things that she's supposed to so that she's preparing to be a wife. But at night, she transforms into Emiliana, who's this alter ego of the woman, like, of the woman she really wants to be, this character who's obsessed with Emiliano Zapata, one of Mexico's revolutionary heroes. And she uses the cabaret where she works as her platform to gather support and her plans to fulfill this dream of her, which is returning the land to the people.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
there's a lot there, and it's a lot of fun. So the theater's kind of transformed into like a rundown old cabaret theater.
Yes.
And it looks great.
It looks beautiful.
And there's lots of music in the show.
Yes, yes. So one of the really important aspects of this play is that it's calling back all these films from the golden age of Mexican cinema, which always portrayed the life of cabaret performers in a way that was very tragic. And it was always told, you know, from a very male perspective. So there was not a lot of fun for the women who performed these roles. I mean, there was fun in the dancing, but then, you know, they always had tragic endings. So one of my ideas was to take these films and then make something, a feminist retelling of these films. And so there's a lot of music in them. We get to sing and dance and hopefully transport people to the 1940s, to the cabarets in Mexico City that, you know, were full of this music and like cigarette smoke and, of course, a lot of tequila, as I say in the play.
Lots of tequila.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know that there's a lot of Spanish spoken in this play. We call it bilingual. Are English speakers going to be able to follow?
Of course, yes. Yes, there's a ton of Spanish, but it's really for everybody. We have had, you know, revision after revision. We also have a whole shows that will be completely in Spanish. So we are making sure, right, that we're reaching the audiences that are here to learn about, you know, this, but also to have fun and like enjoy a night out, to feel like they're in the cabaret with the music, with the dancing, with the lights.
Well, it is fun. We just finished a run through and you can hear all the noise in the background of everybody celebrating the run through. And it is a lot of fun. And as one of those people that are an English speaker and not a Spanish speaker, I can totally follow. So English speakers shouldn't be afraid to come out to the theater.
Come watch. Get ready for the revolution with us. You know, drink some tequila, quote unquote tequila.
Yep. Mustaches are optional.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. And sombreros too.
Great. Well, Jessica Peña Torres, thank you for joining me on Offstage and on the Air. We're going to hear from Mateo right now. I'm looking forward to seeing the show again.
Again. Thank you so much, Lisa. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Hey, I'm sitting here backstage at Ground Floor Theater with Mateo Hernandez. He is the director of the show Emiliana, a Revolution Cabaret. Hi, Mateo. Welcome to Offstage and on the Air.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
First of all, have you ever been on my show before?
I have. Last year, whenever we were doing the Pasarela, I was there with Maddie. Yeah.
I remember now. Yeah. So we already heard from Jessica, so we know what the show is. Tell us how you've been approaching it. And you've been part of this show since the very beginning.
Correct.
Tell us how you've been approaching this as director.
Sure. Well, what I really love about the show from a director's standpoint is the conceit of a play within a play, right? We are the actors on stage are constantly performing this melodramatic We've called it in rehearsal the valiant play.
I love that.
Of who Emiliana, you know, thinks she is, thinks what her story is. And so, yeah, I've really been wanting to push everyone to think about the play in that way. And I think the way that we're going through costume changes and the way that we're moving transitions, I think all really serves that kind of purpose.
Amazing. And how has it been for you from the very beginning? So this was, the show was developed at Ground Floor Theater through the GFT Rights Program.
Yep.
And Jessica brought you in the early workshops.
Yep.
How's it been? How's it grown over the past 2 years?
Yeah, the first reading, I was actually the dramaturg. And then whenever we did the workshop production at UT, that's when I started as the director and been the director, you know, when we took it to Mexico City and another reading, you know.
I love how you just bury the lead. Oh, we took it to Mexico City.
Yeah. But it's been great to be Jessica's almost like think partner, right, throughout this whole process, to be really intimately involved in the development of it, but then not having to write the play myself. You know, I get to give all of my opinions.
That's the beauty of being a director.
Exactly. I don't have to do the work to rewrite it, but she's been working so hard. Her and I are also really good friends. So, you know, as close friends and artistic collaborators, it's just felt also really natural and seamless to be working on the play together.
Great. Well, thank you, and break a leg on Thursday.
Thanks, Lisa.
That was Jessica Peña Torres and Mateo Hernandez of Ground Floor Theater's production of Emiliana, a Revolution Cabaret, playing at Ground Floor Theater August 13th through 29th. For more information, you may visit groundfloortheater.org. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa, and Lily. I'm not wearing headphones right now, so you have to tell me if I sound bad, because you are.
You sound normal.
Okay, good. It's very weird for me. Normally, I didn't. Anyway, thank you so much for playing with me today.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
My mind went blank there. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes.
It was like my severance moment. I went somewhere else.
I didn't know if I should jump in or if I should just...
But this was fun.
This was so fun. We got to hear a monologue. We got to hear a lot of songs. Live performance.
Yeah, there you go.
It was awesome.
And then you're charming. You can come back and co-host anytime.
Yes.
Anytime you want. What was I going to say? There was something else that I was going to say, because we have actually a few more minutes. Usually we're running really late.
Sweet.
So we were talking, I don't know whether, did we talk on the air about your performance on Shakespeare, One of Us is Drunk, that you were drunk last night in the dress rehearsal? Did we do that on the air?
I can't remember if that was on the air or if
but
I just said that to you.
You were drunk last night.
I was drunk last night.
Am I allowed to say that now that I've already said it on the air?
Oh, yeah. We usually, so we draw it at the end of the night and we kind of keep it a secret
You know who's doing it tonight.
We know. So that way we have a pretty strict, you know, schedule of like, you've got a caretaker. They make sure you eat a full meal before.
You can tell me. Who is it?
Who dress?
Okay. I dumped it.
You dumped the whole thing.
So, to my listeners, we have a delay, and I just dumped it because I cued her to say something that she wasn't supposed to say, and then she said it. So hopefully you didn't hear it.
I was so excited
That was funny because I said, it's just you and me talking, and then you did
it. And then I said, and the whole world, you should know this too.
I've never dumped part of my show just voluntarily, so that's good.
Wow. Okay.
That's good.
I don't know if I feel honored or...
You should feel honored. That's great. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us.
Did you dump the whole thing?
No, just it was 10 seconds before we started talking.
That was so funny.
So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for
having
me.
Now we have to say goodbye.
Okay.
And
goodbye, everyone.
We're going to stand by for Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you what's new, because his show is called What's New. And then there is a new recording of a London version of Guys and Dolls that's coming out. Ooh. And go look at the last page and tell people what we're going to listen to, because I can't find my script.
Let's see. What else? We're going to listen to, well, what are we going to? Luck Be a Lady Tonight.
Luck Be a Lady Tonight. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.